माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवरधारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवरधारी यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदानंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन बीबीटी संस्थापकाचार्य हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव भक्त वृंद की नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की हिताय गौर प्रेमानंदे All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम टेंथ कैंटो Chapter 29 entitled Krishna and the gopis meet. We continue with shloka number 1. So we recite the first shloka. Please repeat. Shri Badarayini Ruvacha Bhagavanapi Taratri Sharadot Pullamalikaham Vikshirantum Manas Chakre Yoga Mayamupashritaham Shri Badarayini Ruvacha Bhagavanapi Taratri Sharadot Pullamalikaham Vikshirantum Manas Chakre Yoga Mayamupashritaham Shri Badarayini Ruvacha Bhagavanapi Taratri Sharadot Pullamallikaham Vikshirantum Manas Chakre Yoga Mayamupashritaham
Badarayani Vacha
Bhagavanapi Taratri Sharadot Pullamallika Viksharantum Manaschakre Yoga Maya Upashrita
Shri
Badarayi Nirvacha Bhagavan Pita Ratri Sharadhot Pulla Mallika Viksharantum Manas Chakre
Yoga Mayam
Upashritah
Mataji
Bhagavan api taratri Dot pulla mallikah Vikshirantum manas chakre Yoga mayam upashritah Shri Badarayini Ruvacha Bhagavanapi Taratri Saradot Pullamalika Viksharantum Manas Chakre Yoga Maya Upashrita Sri Badarayini Ruvacha Taratri Taradot Pulla Mallika Viksharantum Manas Chakre Yoga Mayam
Please repeat Shri Badarayini Ruvacha Shri Shukadeva The son of Srila Badarayana Vyasadeva said Bhagavan Krishna the supreme personality of Godhead api although taha those ratrihi nights sharada of autumn utphulla blossoming Mallikaha, the jasmine flowers, Vikshya, seeing, Rantum, to enjoy love, Manah Chakre, he made up his mind, Yoga Mayam, his spiritual potency that makes the impossible possible. Upashritaha, resorting to. Translation and purport given by humble servants of His Divine Grace Srila Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, please repeat. Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences, yet upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind toward loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. Purport. As we begin the famous narration of Lord Krishna's Rasa dance, a dance of love with beautiful young girls, questions will inevitably arise in the minds of ordinary people regarding the propriety of God's romantic dancing will with many young girls in the middle of a full moon autumn night. In his description of Lord's Rasa dance in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada painstakingly explains the spiritual purity of these transcendental activities. Those advanced in the science of Krishna, the great teachers or acharyas, leave no doubt that Lord Krishna is full and satisfied in himself, free of all material desire, which is, after all, a sense of incompleteness or lack. Materialistic persons and impersonal philosophers stubbornly reject the bona fide explanation of Sri Krishna's transcendental nature. There is no reason to deny the beautiful reality of an absolute person able to perform absolute romantic activities, of which our so-called romance is merely a shadow or perverted reflection. The irrational insistence that the material activities cannot be a reflection of the perfect spiritual activities performed by God reflects the unimaginative emotional disposition of those who oppose the reality of Sri Krishna. The psychological disposition of the non-devotees, which leads them to fervently deny the very existence of the Absolute Person, unfortunately boils down to what may be succinctly described as envy. Since the overwhelming majority of the impersonal critics eagerly pursue their own romantic affairs, which they consider quite real and even spiritual. The actual supreme lover is Lord Krishna. The Vedanta Sutra begins by declaring that the absolute truth is a source of everything, and even Western philosophy was born in a somewhat awkward attempt at finding the original one behind the apparent many of material existence. Conjugal love, one of the most intense and demanding aspects of human existence, can hardly have nothing at all to do with supreme reality. In fact, the conjugal love experienced by human beings is mere reflection of spiritual reality, in which same love exists in an absolute pristine state. Thus it is clearly stated here that when Krishna decided to enjoy the romantic atmosphere of autumn, he resorted to his spiritual potency, yogamayam upashritaha. The spiritual nature of Lord Krishna's conjugal affairs is a major theme in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. A woman is attractive because of the sweet sound of her voice, her beauty and gentleness, her enchanting fragrance and tenderness, and also because of her cleverness and skill in music and dance. The most attractive ladies of all are the young gopis of Vrindavana, who are Lord Krishna's internal potency. And this chapter tells how he enjoyed their brilliant feminine qualities, even though, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura has mentioned, Lord Krishna was an 8-year-old boy when these events took place. Ordinary people prefer God simply to be a witness of their romantic affairs. When a boy desires a girl or a girl desires a boy, sometimes they pray to God for their enjoyment. Such people are shocked and dismayed to find out that the Lord can enjoy his own loving affairs with his own transcendental senses. In truth, Sri Krishna is the original Cupid, and his exciting conjugal pastimes will be described in this section of the Bhagavatam. When Lord Krishna descends to the earth, his spiritual body seems to take birth and grow as he displays his variegated pastimes. The Lord could hardly allow his boyhood to pass without exhibiting the supreme loving affairs between a young boy and young girls. Thus, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura quotes Srila Rupa Goswami as follows: Kaishoram Sapali Karoti Kalayam Kunje Viharam Harihi. Lord Hari perfects his youth by arranging loving pastimes in the groves of the Vrindavana forest. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarani. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Kaura Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Sri Badarayi Niruvacha Bhagavana Pita Ratri Sharadot Pallamallikaha Viksharantum Manaschakre Yogamayam Upashritaha. Sri Badarayani said, Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences, yet upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, he turned his mind toward loving affairs. To fulfill his purposes, he employed his internal potency. So we are continuing with the discussion initiated by His Grace Burijana Prabhu yesterday. His Grace Burijana Prabhu covered up to the first paragraph and some portion of second paragraph. Here, Sri Sukadeva Goswami, Sri Badarayani is saying, Bhagavanapi Taratrihi. Krishna is addressed as Bhagavan, as we know. Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriyaha Jnana Vairagyascheva Sannambhaga Itingana. So Krishna has six opulences. Among all six opulences, first five are appreciated, wanted and sought after by materialistic people, like beauty, strength, wisdom, wealth, all those things. But the sixth Aishwarya of Krishna, which is Vairagya, is appreciated by dhiras, or people who are on the path of transcendental knowledge. Even though Krishna is full of all opulences, Bhagavan, he is also very detached. He is very detached because he is Atmarama. He is satisfied by himself. And apart from all these six opulences, if you want to understand all these six opulences in the right context, we have to understand Krishna's another opulence, which is known as Bhakta Vatsalata. Unless we understand Krishna is very affectionate towards his devotees, all the opulences, including his Vairagya, cannot be understood properly. So here, Sri Badarayani is saying, Bhagavan api, although Krishna, Govinda, is the supreme personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the senses, he is desiring to enjoy with the cowherd damsels of Vrindavan. This is very esoteric and very difficult to understand, but still it is our service to acharyas. Anshila Prabhupada, who has summarized the essence of all the acharyas' commentaries in Krishna book and his disciples, presented in this verse. It is mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna has full control over his senses. He is Jitendriya. He says, Uddama Bhava Pishunama Laval Guhasam Vridavaloka Nihitam Madanopiyasam Sammuhya Chapam Prajahat Pramadottamascha Yasyendriyam Vimatitum Kukuhai Nahashekuhu Kuhukai Nashekuhu. That means, the queens of Dwaraka, they are so wonderful and so beautiful, by their sidelong glances, they can even defeat Madana, Cupid. And Amadanaha means Lord Shiva. So, the Kamadeva, the Cupid, who actually incites material desires in conditioned living entities, he himself, in frustration, gives up his bow. But Krishna is least affected by whatever we have seen in the queens of Dwaraka. So, from this, the point I am trying to make is, Krishna, although Bhagavan, if you want to know his desires, it is very important to know him first. Srila Prabhupada, many times in the purports, he says that Krishna is absolute truth and whatever he does is on absolute platform. Whether rasa dance with the gopis or his creation through Mahavishnus. A pure devotee doesn't distinguish any difference between Krishna's creation through his expansions of Mahavishnu or his rasa dance with the gopis. Like His Grace Burjana Prabhu was mentioning yesterday, that how can we understand the complete transcendental subject matter of these intimate pastimes of Krishna with the gopis using our mundane intelligence? So, it is only possible by the mercy of Krishna. It is only possible by the mercy of Krishna. And of course, the mercy of Krishna flows through the mercy of devotee. Here, in the second paragraph, it is said, materialistic persons and impersonal philosophers stubbornly reject the bona fide explanation of Sri Krishna's transcendental nature. At the end of this Rasa Panchadhyaya, in the 33rd chapter, Shukadeva Goswami gives the Phalashruti. He says, by understanding Vikriditam Brajavadhubhi Idam Cha Vishnoho, means Vishnoho means the origin of all Vishnus, Krishna's pastimes with the Vrajavadhus, particularly the sporting pastimes, what happens is, the pure devotional service is granted. And on top of that, the Hrudroga, the real heart disease, is cured. What is Hrudroga? Pumsastriya Maituni Bhavametam Mitto Hrudya Granthi Mahu Atah Grahakshetra Sutapta Vittai Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. So this is real Hrudroga. What is that? The tendency to enjoy material desires is actually the Hrudroga, and the ultimate aspect of material enjoyment is sex. But when we have faculties which can't be used in enjoying that desire, then we resort to name, fame, and adoration, distinction, etc. So here, the purport says, materialistic persons and impersonal philosophers. There are three different types of non-devotees or materialistic persons, including impersonal philosophers. He says, Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Kami, Akali, Ashanti, Nishkama, Krishna, Bhakta, Atayeva, Shanta. Only a Krishna devotee is a Nishkama, because Krishna, as we discussed, he cannot be agitated by any, because he has complete control over his senses. Rather, he is the master of the senses. Similarly, devotees who take shelter of Krishna, they also conquer the senses. So, bhukti, mukti, siddhi. Who are these bhuktis? People who want to enjoy this material world to the extent possible. These are people are called bhuktis. Muktis means when they get frustrated in this material enjoyment, what they do? They stop the material activities and they try to speculate what is the reason for their frustration. Once they find the frustration, then what happens? They can't go anywhere. They fall down to this material world. As explained in the 10th canto, Iyanyi Aravindaksha Vimukta Manina, Tvayi Astabhavat Avishuddha Buddhayaha. Avishuddha Buddhayaha means, so there are two kinds of people in a broad sense. One thinks that he can live happily without Krishna. Means, without rendering service to Krishna, just enjoying his senses, he thinks he will be very happy. These people are called bhuktis, means materialistic people. And the second category of people, they think they can become happy by becoming one with Krishna. So this category of people, they are more dangerous than the bhuktis. Why? This is considered the last snare of material illusion. At least a person who is trying to enjoy his senses sincerely, when he comes in contact with a devotee, his enjoying spirit may be dovetail in service to Krishna, because he thinks he can get more enjoyment in service to Krishna. But the second category of people who think that by becoming one with Krishna they can live happily, this is more dangerous. And the siddhis, the yogis. The problem with the yogis is, if they don't get distracted by the byproducts of the process, they will continue further to the realization of Paramatma. And once they realize this Paramatma and take association of devotees, then there is a chance that they might become pure devotees. But the problem is, the distractive nature of these siddhis is very dangerous. So when we say non-devotees, means here devotee refers to pure devotee. When we are performing bhakti, we perform bhakti in different modes and different tendencies, basically called Mishra Bhakti. So when we perform Mishra Bhakti, these tendencies of impersonalism and these tendencies of material enjoyment could also surface in our devotional service. How materialistic tendency will surface in our devotional service? Because we expect some return from devotional service to Krishna. Because Krishna is independent and he knows how to reciprocate it, when we have this motive to expect some return from devotion to Krishna, then our devotion may be interrupted. When our devotion is interrupted, then you have the chance to get attracted by Maya. When you get chance to get attracted by Maya, then what happens? You go further 5 centimeters and you go down 20 centimeters. So net result is 15 centimeters downward. So you always be in a fallen state. So that's why if you are in the association of devotees, your motives may be moderated. Your motives may be moderated. And the impersonalism also could surface in the practicing devotees. Then you might think, we are personalists, we are worshipping the Archamurti, and we accept Krishna as a form, how could impersonalism can actually surface in the process of devotional service? The concept of impersonalism means we have a certain, a kind of idea about a Vaishnava or Krishna. We expect a Vaishnava to behave according to the mindset that we have developed towards that Vaishnava or even Krishna. So we expect Krishna and Vaishnavas to reciprocate with us the way we have actually prepared our mindset. So having a fixed frame of understanding even about Krishna or Vaishnavas, it's a kind of impersonalism. Impersonalism means you are not recognizing the dynamic nature of thinking, feeling and willing. That is the basic aspect of personalism of bhakti. So that's why this materialistic tendencies and impersonalism also could surface when we are practicing sadhana bhakti. But of course, as His Grace Bhurijana Prabhu said, the only thing that what we have to do is simply hear about these pastimes. And how do we have to hear this? And explained in the Phalashruti of the 33rd chapter, he says, Shraddhanvita Anushriyat. Shraddhanvita. Shraddhanvita means with faith. We should hear with faith. How do we know that we are hearing with faith? We are hearing with faith is shown when we become eager to hear about Krishna. This is called Shushrushashoha. Some people hear because it might be an obligation, but when you have eagerness to hear about Krishna, this actually will lit up the fire of devotional spark within our hearts. And anushrutaha. So Shraddhanvitaha Anushruyat. Anushruyat means hearing. Anushruyat means repeated hearing is important. Sometimes we hear, Nityam sometimes refers to daily, but Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya means constantly you should be hearing about Bhagavatam. So when we say constantly hearing about Bhagavatam means serving Bhagavatas. The book Bhagavatas and there are Grantha Bhagavatas. Either you read Srimad Bhagavatam or engage in the services given to you by the Bhagavatas or the spiritual master. So here the purport says, they deny the beautiful reality of an absolute person able to perform absolute romantic activities and says, this is due to the stubborn nature. So we have identified the disease, and the disease is caused due to some infections, and some of the infections are mentioned in this purport. One is called stubbornness, and the second is called envy. So in this paragraph, it is mentioned, people who are very stubborn, they don't progress on the path of devotional service. What do you mean by stubbornness? Means they have their own ideas. If those ideas are favorable for performing bhakti, well and good. But if those ideas become hindrance to your devotional service, and when they are overridden by the advices from spiritual master or authorities, then you must be malleable enough to adapt yourself to those instructions. So simply becoming stubborn will not make us progress on our path. So this malleability is very important in devotional service. Gold is very valuable. Why? It has very less affinity to be degraded by material things or the nature. And the second thing is its malleability. You can transform gold into finest ornaments, so malleability. A devotee should be malleable. Snigdhasya Sishyasya means you should be so submissive to your spiritual master and the authorities that they can mold you in any way according to their desires. This is very important. It is our great good fortune and a great spiritual asset to dispose ourselves to be molded by the will of Vaishnavas is actually our wealth. If someone says who is a rich Vaishnava means who has this disposal nature towards his Vaishnavas, then we can make our life successful. So His Holiness Srila Sachinandan Maharaj says in Living Name, he says two important things which are very profound. One, he says, we should always expose ourselves to the guidance which is obviously available through Krishna or through devotees. Isn't it? Krishna, He is giving instructions through the heart all the time. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. But our material desires, background noise is too much that we can't hear what Krishna is saying. That's why the external manifestation of Krishna through spiritual master, actually we can hear. So, we should always be available to receive this guidance, which is always available, provided you want to take that. Isn't it? When Vyasadeva was remorse, even he didn't know perfectly the cause of his lamentation, but still he was very sincere in his lamentation, so that sincerity attracted his spiritual master, isn't it? Narada Muni came and identified the problem and also gave the solution. And the second thing Maharaj says, we should be patient enough to tolerate the ups and downs in the course of executing those instructions available in the form of guidance from these Vaishnavas or Krishna. Sometimes we accept instructions, but we actually follow to some extent, then after that we give up because it becomes too much. But we should be patient enough. You know why? When we have this phala mentality, means fruitive mentality, we have the tendency to give up our services very quickly because we try to enjoy the outcome of our services. What is outcome of service? Outcome of service means the result. So if you don't get the good result, then you may be discouraged. If you get the good result, you may be encouraged. But it's not that always you get the good result from your activity. Because in devotional service, one thing we should remember always, that Krishna and His representative, they are in full control of your services because they are the ones who have given you these services. We should never forget that. And when we get these services, we will be equipped with the resources or the skills also. The skills that Arjuna had to fight the battle, he didn't have before he took Krishna's shelter, isn't it? Because he was lamenting. But then what happens? Then this yogic mentality comes in when we utilize the skills awarded by Krishna and Guru in performing services. Then we become sidetracked in these things. But these skills, different living entities or different devotees might come with different skills. Someone can speak very well, someone can sing very well, someone can be a great scholar, but these skills will go with the time. When you become very old, 90, 95, these skills will never be available for you to execute. Just like Arjuna, when he was coming back from Dwaraka, he couldn't even defeat few people, but he was the one famous Arjuna, won the entire Kurukshetra battle. So what we have to understand is, when we become available to the guidance of Krishna or His devotees, and we should be patient enough to understand that the outcome is subjected to them, because they are the ones who have given the services and the abilities to perform these services. So that is the stubborn nature. And in the second, the third paragraph, it says, the materialistic tendency, it boils down to envy. It says, the fervently deny the very existence of the Absolute Person unfortunately boils down to what may be succinctly described as envy. So this is the second infection of the heart disease, Hrudroga, that we have discussed. Of course, there are many infections, but this envy is sum total of all the anarthas. We have 6 anarthas, and the last anartha is envy. So this matsarata is a sum total of all the remaining 5. So it is very nicely described in Srimad Bhagavatam, how can we come over this nature of material existence which boils down to envy. When we boil down the milk, what happens? You can make cream, isn't it? So when you keep boiling the milk, what happens? You can make peda. So the essence of the milk is the cream in that sense. So the essence of the material existence is basically envy. From an ant, even up to the position of Brahma, we can actually manifest this in different degrees. But when we become completely sterilized, then what happens? We become eligible to go to Vaikuntha, where there is no envy. Because of our envious nature, we become anxious. Anxiety strikes us the moment when we become envious. And it's not that we don't have envy, but sometimes it doesn't surface and sometimes it surfaces. But this anartha will be there because we have assumed the body of this material existence. So that's why we should always be cautious in our dealings in the material world, even though you have perfected bhakti. As Prahlad Maharaj says, Trastosmi aham krupanamachala dussahogra samsara chakra kadanad grasatam pranitaha. He says, he is not afraid of the ferocious form of Nrisingadev, but he is afraid of something. What is that? At any stage I may become victim of the material nature, which is a cause of samsara. How? He has seen practically his father, isn't it? How powerful his father. Simply, he got destroyed because he has this tendency. So we should be very much afraid of that. Prabhupada says, my followers are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. When we are afraid of Maya, we become diligent. Becoming diligent in our bhakti doesn't mean that we have more conditioning nature, that's why we are afraid of Maya. So this diligence is a symptom of our cautious approach towards Krishna's energy. That is called Maya. So then the question comes, how do we come over this? You might have read, and you might know, and you have some realizations. But when we go through the description of Vaikuntha planets, there are 2 specific ways we can try our best to implement in our lives to become free from this essence of material life, which is called matsarata. What is matsarata? Sridhar Swami explains, para utkrushta asahanata iti matsarata. Means, you can actually go to room, close your doors, and then you write down that when some devotee is glorified in your presence, what was your response? You can genuinely put your answer, whether you are happy or whether you are not happy, or whether you are diplomatic enough to adjust your mindset that you are happy. So, as Sridhar Swami says, para utkrushta asahanata, this is there in all conditioned jivas. This is there in all conditioned jivas. But actually we can have some tools to put in place. So as explained very nicely in these 2 verses, paravatanya bhratasara sa chakravaka datyuha hamsa shukatittiri barihinamya kolahalo virameta achitra achiramatra muchai brunghadipa harikatam ivagayamane. See, there are so many birds which can sing beautifully in Vaikunthas. You don't find crows in Vaikuntha. You find beautiful birds. But when they see a Brunghadipa, Brunghadipa means, Adipa means king. The king of bumblebee when he says bzzz like that, it's not a song. That is why it's called Ivagayamane. It looks like, but it is very sincere and eager to glorify Krishna. Then what happens? Kolahalo virameta achitra achiramatra muchayehi means they stop all their glorification of Krishna. You see? That means when some devotee is very eager to engage in service of Krishna, even though you have so many faculties, excellent faculties apart from the devotee, but still we should give opportunity to that devotee. Like Mahaprabhu demonstrated when he was having darshan of Jagannath ji near Garuda Stambha, one tribal woman, she was so eager to have darshan of Jagannath that she didn't know upon whom she was climbing. She just, climbed onto the shoulders of Mahaprabhu, and then she had darshan, and Mahaprabhu, he was in tears. He said, "My life became successful because I became an instrument for an eager devotee." So this eagerness is a price to purchase Krishna. Just like Brungadipa Harikatham Yavagayamane. So what is the point? As per the structure allows, because we have an organization, we have a structure. As per the structural rules permit, if any devotee is eager to perform certain service, we should be facilitating that service, because that facilitation will actually increase our delegation power towards that devotee or others. This is important. And the second aspect mentioned in the Bhagavatam, the next verse, he says, the verse Mandara Kunda Kurabotpala Champakarna Punaga Naga Bakulambuja Parijataha Gandhechite Tulasika Bharanena Tasya Yasmin Tapaha Sumanaso Bahumanayanti. You know, there are transcendentally fragrant flowers you have in spiritual world. But when they see Tulsi Maharani, because Lord always has a flower garland and Tulsi. But when these fragrant flowers see Tulsi, they are conscious of the austerities performed by Tulsi. Without Tulsi, you cannot do any service to Krishna, because Krishna doesn't accept. Why she got that privilege? Because of Yasmin Tapaha, means of her great austerities. Nothing comes for free in our bhakti. Without austerity, nothing comes. Because Tulsi Maharani has performed great austerities, she got the privilege of this. And every fragrant flower is conscious of this austerity. So, there are many devotees go through different austerities when we are in the association. And we should be conscious enough to recognize the austerities observed by these devotees. Most of the times we get into problem because we don't appreciate how much work they have done. Appreciating the austerities that devotees go through and facilitating their services, we can become free from this envy, which is actually a boiled down product of material nature. And the BBT purport goes, he says, in truth, Sri Krishna is the original Cupid, and his exciting conjugal pastimes will be described in this section of Bhagavatam. The question is, yes, this is the most confidential part of Srimad Bhagavatam, very difficult to understand. Just like in the fifth canto, the description of the planetary systems. Even if you read 100 times, very difficult to understand where the which planet is. So there are some sections in Bhagavatam, simply read. That giving oral reception to that, that actually elevates us to realize, because that invokes Krishna's mercy. How? By reading Srila Prabhupada's purports or his disciples' purports, then what happens? we actually do service to great Bhagavatas, isn't it? What is the greatest service done to a devotee? You can give food, you can give clothes, you can give dakshina, but the greatest service that you can do to a Vaishnava is when they glorify Krishna, nicely hear that. This is called the greatest service performed by a devotee. So when we sincerely read Srila Prabhupada's books, we actually render service to Srila Prabhupada. And when we serve Srila Prabhupada, obviously when he is pleased, then Krishna will obviously be pleased. That's why to demonstrate the principles of Bhagavatam, particularly this Rasa Panchadhyaya, Lord Krishna has manifested as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we cannot understand Radha Krishna. At least this much we should be confident enough. Radha Krishna Pranay Vikruti Hladini Shakti Rasmat. That means the part of Bhagavatam which could be misunderstood by people is actually demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a digestive form. Isn't it? If mother has two children, one child is a few days baby and other child is three years old, for other child she gives halwa. And this child, for few months old, she gives only milk. She can't feed halwa because this baby cannot digest. So, but if you put this halwa in front of 3 months old baby, then what happens? You should not eat. Or some expert person should come and then make this item digestive by this baby, isn't it? But you should simply wait until it turns to few years old, so that he can eat halwa. Similarly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his Jaiva Dharma, there are different pastimes. The Sankirtana pastimes that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had with his confidential devotees in Srivasangan, that is non-different from Rasa dance. That is considered the Rasa Sthali. So, our Krishna consciousness movement has its origin there, because the Nama Sankirtana is originated from there. That means, if you want to participate in Rasa dance, it is important to engage in the services of ISKCON. Isn't it? Because this is also Sankirtana movement. And Sankirtana movement is non-different from Krishna's Rasa dance, as Mahaprabhu inaugurated at Srivasangan. So, serving the mission of Mahaprabhu in the association of devotees is same as participating in Krishna's Rasa Krida. So we should not simply jump beyond the jurisdiction of Mahaprabhu's philosophy and go to this Rasa Panchadhyaya to relish the Krishna's pastimes with these gopis. Yes, we may become eligible by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, as mentioned in the purport. Impossible things can be possible, isn't it? What is that verse? Duskuram. In Chaitanya Charitamrita at the beginning it is said, if you have mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, impossible things become possible and possible things become impossible. What is impossible? Understanding these esoteric pastimes with our mundane abilities is impossible, isn't it? But if we have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you can understand. What will you do after understanding? Simply engage services given to us by Srila Prabhupada in this moment. That's it. That is the essence. So with this mood initiated by His Grace Burijana Prabhu, we try to discuss some of the aspects of this purport. I would like to stop. If there are any questions or corrections or comments, I request the devotees.
Pronunciation. Lord Chaitanya, though, showed great love for his mother and the devotees. And the Raghunath Das Goswami, even though his family members were actually religious and following Vedic principles, he still had no attachment. So how much love and affection should we show for family members, at the same time keeping in mind the, you know, renunciation or not to be on the bhakti platform, this thing to be a fine line there, we're trying to renounce and dedicate to Krishna. But we want to become a personalist or callous people and not be sensitive to our family and relatives like that. So maybe you can just speak a little bit about that.
Thank you, Prabhu. In one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the first canto of Bhagavatam that a Vaishnava, whether he is in Grahasthashram, Brahmachari, a Vanaprastha or Sannyasi, is a Vaishnava. But the degree of detachment is measured in terms of its formality. That means a Grahastha, he is a Vaishnava, externally he should not be detached. Internally he should develop the detachment. A Sannyasi, he should externally and internally, a Brahmachari or Vanaprastha, particularly Brahmacharis and Sannyasis, they should internally and externally display this detachment. So the strength of detachment is measured in terms of its formal acceptance of this renunciation. So that's why we can be mad within, but we should make sense outside. So this is what Mahaprabhu told to Raghunath Das Goswami. You go back. Act in such a way that no one recognizes you, that you are, you know, very detached. It's just like a maid servant. Or, you know, this, yes. Maid servant, when she goes to work at other places, she works exactly the same way. But she's not affected by those dealings. So, when we have family and we have other dealings, particularly in the association of devotees, there is a limit where we need to show our detachment. Because showing detachment over a limit can also be termed as irresponsibility, isn't it? Or evasiveness to render that service. When it becomes too much, you just say that I'm very detached, I don't want to do anything because I'm too humble to do that. So, yes, there is a fine line exists where or at to what point we should show this detachment, but certainly for householder, internally he should be detached, but externally he should maintain some attachments, because those attachments will purify his devotional service eventually. So that's my realization. Hare Krishna.
In the beginning of your class, you were mentioning that we as individuals and disciples or aspiring disciples, we are not alone. And the spiritual master is going to mold us into whatever he desires. So, because all of us are on different levels of ignorance, how do we know that the spiritual master that I've chosen is going to be beneficial? There are in Vrindavan thousands of so-called gurus, and in India there are even more, and they are collecting thousands and thousands and thousands of vulnerable individuals, and their aspiration is to become spiritually enlightened. But how do we know that the one that we have selected is a guru, and we need to follow his instructions?
Correct.
we will wait until finishes. So, Prabhuji, if I understood your question, that there are many devotees who are trying to progress on their devotional service, but there are many gurus, and how do we know that they are following the instructions of the guru and engaged in those services as chosen by spiritual master, isn't it? Is that your question? Or
my question is,
can you please speak louder?
If they choose someone as a spiritual master and they do what that spiritual master has instructed them, the byproduct of their service should be that they are being spiritually elevated. But this is not always the case. So, how do you know how to choose a spiritual master?
So how do we choose a spiritual master? He should be coming in the proper disciplic succession. But we have one privilege within ISKCON established by Srila Prabhupada, that we have clear guidelines how to choose a spiritual master. And after choosing spiritual master, we also have many systems in place in this institution to have the checks and balances so that the services that we render within this organization are ultimately aimed at pleasing the founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. So how to choose a suitable spiritual master? It's a very big question, but in ISKCON we have a clear guidelines, because he should be coming through proper sampradaya, and we have, you know, all these principles in place. So, but if we want to answer this philosophically, Rupa Goswami gives in his next drop instruction, we should choose a spiritual master who has claimed the victory over all his urges. He should have complete control over his senses, that's the first. And second, he must be coming through proper disciplic succession. And the third, he should be a Naishtika Krishna Bhakta. So these three things are, in broad sense, to choose who should be the spiritual master. Okay.
What was Krishna's instructions to Arjuna in this regard?
What's that? What's the
question? Is Krishna instructed Arjuna in a proper way to choose a spiritual master? So Krishna told Arjuna, must approach a bona fide spiritual master and inquire from him solicitly, and then bring your service into him, and the results of rendering service to the spiritual master is that he will impart knowledge to you. And this knowledge, of course, is the key to making progress in spiritual life. However, when it says one must approach a bona fide spiritual master, if we are fortunate enough to find a bona fide spiritual master, and we begin to render service to him. So what kind of service is that we render? That service must be uncontaminated. It must not have any ulterior motives for rendering service in order to obtain tista or to obtain wealth. And then, if we can do this, then the spiritual master's knowledge will actually be clear, and we render that service, and we will get the reward, which is advanced bliss in God's life. So just accepting a spiritual master, but harboring doubts or not renewing pure, unadulterated service to that guru, you will not be in progress.
Sorry, Prabhu. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Yes.
Hello.
Hare
Krishna. You were speaking about envy. So as we understand, envy is when you desire somebody, something that somebody else has. Is there any other meaning for envy? When we hear the word envy, we shouldn't.
Like when others, when we think that others are envious of us.
Well, usually we understand, you know, understanding is when I'm envious, I want something that somebody else has. That's the general understanding of envy. So in devotion service, we speak about not being envious. So if there's some other aspect of envy besides desiring something that somebody else has and you have.
Our envy starts with we becoming envious of Krishna. We become envious of Krishna in direct way and indirect way. Indirect way means claiming proprietorship of whatever we have got and controlling spirit and enjoying spirit are the ways by which indirectly we are becoming envious of Krishna. You know why? Krishna says in 529, he says, Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. He says, Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Muchyati. So this is the indirect way of becoming envious of Krishna. And when we become completely materialistic, that envy towards Krishna will reflect in other platforms, on other platforms like other living entities. And the direct envy is we become envious of Vaishnavas. This is the worst part of envy, which is a direct exhibition of envy towards Krishna, which is through Vaishnavas. Hiranyakashipu knew Vishnu is Bhagavan, but he didn't have proper understanding of Lord. See, materialistic people, they always want glorification from others. But there is a section of people who are devotees, they exclusively glorify Krishna and Vaishnavas, not materialistic people. When these materialistic people come in contact with such devotees, when they don't glorify these materialistic people, and when turn when they glorify Krishna, then these materialistic people, they become envious of Vaishnavas and they also exhibit their direct envy towards Krishna. This is very dangerous. That becomes Vaishnava aparadha. So envy manifests in different ways. But the ultimate definition of envy, which includes the sum total of all other aspects, is what given by Sridhar Swami. Para utkrushta asahanata iti matsarata. Means, when we can't tolerate people becoming happy or going up, that is basically called envy. But in devotion, that is absolutely nil, expected to be nil. That's why Mahaprabhu, he says to Amogha, the son-in-law of Sarabhum Bhattacharya, he says, when he was very envious of Mahaprabhu and critical of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got infected with this deadly disease, cholera, and he was on the deathbed, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his lotus hand on the chest of Amogha and he said, my dear Amogha, as long as you have envy in the heart, Lord will not reside. But this anartha also has to be cleared by Krishna. See, ultimately, our philosophy boils down to how to get mercy of Krishna. The mercy of Krishna will flow through a gradient, and the angle of gradient is up to you. You understand? The water flows from high gradient to the low gradient. The steeper the gradient, the quicker the water flows. So it is up to us to create that gradient. What is that? Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karo More Tuma Vina Kedayalu Jagata Samsare Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara Mosama Patita Prabhu Napaye Behara. My dear Lord, you are descended to reclaim the fallen souls. Are you looking for customers? I am the best customer because I am the most fallen. It looks very simple, but it's very, very difficult to claim ourselves very fallen. In Kali Yuga, it is so difficult, we can be proud of our own humility. Isn't it? Because this is the nature of this Kali Yuga. So what we have to do is, Shraddhavan Anusruyat, repeatedly, incessantly, chanting Krishna's names is the only way by which all anarthas will go away. There is no other chance. All these aspects of bhakti or philosophies that we discuss should enable us to nicely chant the holy names of Krishna in a mood of surrender. So that is real way of getting out of this envy. Thank you. Any other question? Mataji, yes. It's the last question. Okay. Yes. Can she get a microphone? It's the last question.
So I think my question is that, you know, the envy is like twofold. It's sometimes one may become envious of others, or they may become a recipient of envy. So could you kindly comment in both cases how a devotee should be internally, mentally, spiritually, favorably situated in both situations?
Very good question. Two things can happen. When we become envious of others and when we become recipient of others' envy. Actually, to become envious or not, it is our choice. Sometimes we say, in a very humble way, that others are very envious of me. That shows how proud we are, isn't it? We think we are great, and then artificially we think that by seeing my greatness, people are very envious, and whenever we get some companions, we complain that, see, I'm doing nothing, but still people are envious of me. Why they should become envious of you, unless you think you are very great? So this is when you become recipient of others' envy. This you can avoid it. This you can avoid by cultivating this mindset that I am not so great that others should be envious of me. I am very fallen. And the second, when you become envious of others means, I have already explained in the class, the two ways. One, encouraging the eager devotees even though you don't like. And appreciating the good qualities in others. So, by appreciating the good qualities that every Vaishnava has, and encouraging the eager devotees whom even we don't like, there are many ways, but broadly these two ways can help us to look after when we become envious of others.
Say, for instance, you're seeing that somebody is becoming an obstacle in one's devotional service due to envy. The other part I appreciate, I think as yogis we have that understanding that when you do this, three fingers are pointing to your own self. But say if somebody, if that envy is manifesting as an obstruction in your service, so they're trying to impede your service, actually my question was, then how should one deal with that?
One should be abstaining from that. What happens is, if we are not immune to this material contamination called envy, when others are so-called genuinely envious of you, whether they are envious of or not, but you feel that they are envious of you, and that is causing obstacles on your path of bhakti, then what we have to do is, we have to keep away from that. Because bringing water and oil will not help us. Keeping water, you can bathe. Keeping oil separately, you can fry pakoras, you can use it nicely. So keep them, those two things separately, but don't mix these two things. Until we become immune to face even those envious people, even though they create problems. So until that time, we should make a kind of, we should have this approach of distancing ourselves. Yes, you have any further things? Sorry.
So if, because we also hear about this manifest of Thakur's disappearance day was there the other day, and he very beautifully explained his instructions. And the last instruction was, never give up your service. So I think that's my final time point, that should one give up the service, or they should still try to do the service?
Very good question. In that case, you should seek guidance from senior devotees and higher authorities. They will facilitate your service, which can be done by you. So, taking guidance from senior devotees and authorities, they will facilitate the service if you have sincere desire to continue that service. Okay, so with this we conclude our discussion. So, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitaya Gaur Premanande.